KUTX live in Studio 1A. This is Jody Denberg, and we have a real treat for you today on the airwaves. And for those of you here in Studio 1A, welcome to our Concert Club members. Good to have you here today. Thank you all for being here. Thanks to Cliff Hargrove and Jake Perlman for engineering today. And a big thank you for the band that's about to make music for us, to the band that's about to make music for us. They are at the Scoot In tonight with Nashville's Savoy Motel opening. This group from Portland's been making great music for more than two decades, and their new album is their ninth studio album. It's called Distort Land. We're going to chat it up in a bit, but right now we're going to do a live track from Dandy Warhols on KUTX. The Dandy Warhols live on KUTX and live tonight and tomorrow night at the Scoot In. Thanks for that, y'all. So when you see Austin on your itinerary and you know you're coming here, what comes to mind? What do you think about?
Tacos.
Barbecue.
Sorry, just the first thing that popped out. Right?
We live here and that's what we think about. So
every day when you wake up,
yeah,
it's going, ah, I'm hungry, tacos.
People in Austin,
Lenny, tacos.
We talk about tacos, we talk about traffic and the growth of our city, and y'all live in Portland for the most part, I believe.
Condos.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still doing it.
No, it's all right. Wow, we could just trade cities and we'd be in the same place, except for the tacos.
Right.
Are you still happy living there? I mean, I love my city here. Some days I get a little itchy.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. You know, because our... when we started playing, it was probably around 390,000 people there. And now there's 2.2 million. So that's... I don't even... You know, I can't even imagine what would happen to us, you know, if we hadn't made this band and become internationally successful and, you know, able to cope with it. All the true weirdos, you know, got ground beneath the wheel. Who knows what happened to them, the ones that didn't OD, you know, and didn't, you know, die of alcoholism or whatever. They, you know, we lost so many friends during that transition. You just can't make it, you know. You could live on $150 a month in the 90s in Portland, you know, you're just sharing a big old house with some other kooks and pitching in money. And, you know, Pete and I were just saying we work 2 days a week.
Wow.
You know, that was how we could make this band. We could get everything done and really take it seriously and still be, you know, F-ups.
The international success of the Dandy Warhols, as you said, allows you to leave town for periods at a time. A lot of American bands didn't get the benefit of garnering audiences overseas. Do you think it's the style of your music that you were playing at certain points, or just that you worked it really hard over there? How did you get the audience across the pond?
I would say, first of all, the style of what we were doing and the time we were doing it. We were the only major label band that, you know, wasn't rap rock or whatever, you know. What was there? There's grunge, rap rock, Queensryche, kind of proggy metal. And yeah, so we were the only thing with vintage guitars and vocal harmonies and, you know, stuff like that. And that we were, you know, Australia and Europe and the UK. We're like, wow, this kind of music, like, you know, that kind of thing is still valid and working. Australia never... They never went boy band, girl band, full on and all that stuff. They never lost their thing for guitars and like rock. So that was easy. The Europe thing was weird because it was super techno at the time in the 90s getting over there and going, how are we over here? No one seems to care. And then people would show up at our gigs. So, But you didn't hear anything, you know, in your day-to-day life. Britpop kind of never went away in England. So... You know, you still had Mary's crying for baby doll. You know, you just still hear that at a chip shop or whatever, you know, in 96.
When you mentioned being on major labels, you've done the major label thing, you've done the indie route, the current record, Distortland. You had, I'm imagining, free artistic reign. Before you go in to make another record, and you've been doing this for more than 20 years, do you kind of brainstorm what you want it to be like, or does it evolve as you're making it?
Well, we don't really go in to make a record because we own the studio. And we've always basically owned the studio. You know, we would just rent a warehouse and just... You could get a warehouse space, a pretty major chunk of real estate for like $1,000 a month, you know, back in the day. So all through our career until the Audi, and then we just, you know... I just bought the place, and so yeah, our they can't do anything but evolve because we don't go into the studio.
Your own time.
Well, they just kind of grow, and we do a lot. Like Pete's got a great studio in his basement, and I've got some basic old weird crap in my basement, and Fatty's got stuff at his house. So we can do a lot of sending it around, and I think you'd. we still have to hire an engineer at our studio because the gear, the amount of gear in there has outgrown our abilities pretty much. But so we're in and out of the studio and our basements with it for constantly. It never ends. You know, people must, you just laid some, the day before we left on tour, I think you laid something down in your, okay, I'm gonna get it done before we, then, you know, done, get on the bus and go on tour. And it's just constant. So, yeah, our records always just evolve.
We're talking with the Dandy Warhols at the Scoot Inn tonight and tomorrow night. Like many people, I saw the film Dig some 12 years ago. Do you find that people who don't know the band that well but come out to the shows who've only seen you in that movie have a certain preconceived notion of what's going to happen? Or how has the movie affected?
Are you confusing us with the Jonestown Massacre?
No.
Because they get it, they got in fights and stuff in the movie.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we just sort of had a part to play. It was a documentary of them. So I think people don't really have much idea of what we are from the movie because we're not actually documented truly
right.
in it. We're just sort of bad actors. But, yeah. Our music's in there at least, so people can go, oh man, I saw that movie and I thought you were, you know, I loved the boys better or whatever.
Right.
Bohemian Like You. And then, so, but yeah, there's not, you know, there's none of us in the movie. There's not really any of us,
right.
except for when the French cops bust us for weed. That was the only kind of truly, that wasn't set up. That's the scene in the movie that wasn't set up. Well, and that's pretty fun.
Well, that was my first exposure to your music. And now we have a new album called Distort Land. We started with a song called Killing Me. Dandy Warhols, our guests. We have another song, which is called...
Some Things You Gotta Get Over.
Thank you. Andy Warhols, live on KUTX. Nice to have them in this acoustic hushed setting, a different setting tonight and tomorrow night at the Scoot Inn for the Dandy Warhols. And also Zia, who's been playing keyboards, is DJing at Hotel Vegas tonight and tomorrow night after the Dandy Warhols do their thing at the Scoot Inn. Thanks, y'all, for being here. Appreciate it a lot. And thank you all for being here as well. As a matter of fact, stick around. We're going to do one more song, and then we'll post some video and audio from this session at KUTX.org. Dandy Warhols, everybody. Thanks to Jake and Cliff, our engineers. I'm Jody Denberg, and this is KUTX.